It's 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. We're in this next hour programming. The opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those. KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time now for Talking Animals. KUCI.
Show them the love and let them know Zion is quite near. Yeah, cause we have a heart of a lion.
Strength,
the strength of a lion. And let them know that we won't stop till we get there. In a Zion, now we're gonna roar like a lion. And try to like a lion. And let them know that we won't stop till we get there.
That's music from Kaimani Marley with a song called Heart of a Lion as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole shebang is broadcasting for the University of California at Irvine. Happy President's Day, folks. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Otherwise, we get a bit lonely here at the KUCI studios. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our wonderful website at talkinganimals.net. That's right, .net, folks, .net. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rip-snorting rendition of The Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been nearly 8 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've been enormously fortunate during that time to have a long string of terrific guests, ranging from Dr. Sophia Yin, a veterinarian who's done pioneering research on dog barks and what they mean, to Dan Matthews, who is Vice President of Communications at PETA, is the Chief Strategist of your organization's high-profile campaigns, to our recent spirited, sprawling, truly stimulating conversation with comedian, actress, activist, and animal lover Janine Garofalo. Not only are all the shows featuring those interviews archived on our nifty website at, yes again, www.talkinganimals.net, but our string of exceptional guests continues today when we speak with Fred Bergendorf, the executive producer, creator, and frequently host of The Pet Place, a long-running TV show that airs Saturday mornings locally here on KDOC and Channel 56 and other locations, depending on your cable system, and also on cable in Long Beach as well, and basically presents all kinds of dogs and cats, sometimes other animals, from various shelters, pounds, humane societies each week in the hope they'll be adopted out to good homes. And boy, are they in large numbers, but we'll get into that more and find out all about The Pet Place when we speak with Fred Bergendorf in just a few minutes from now. You'll be joining us live on the phone, so also I'll be happy, of course, to take your phone calls at 949-824-5824 when we're speaking with Fred. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And again, I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, of course, but to any other animal topic you care to discuss, announcements, observations, if you have an event you want to slide in, let us know about any other story you might have spotted you think we should be aware of. They'd all be most welcome at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Turning out interesting or important developments recently in animal news, typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important in the spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities each week that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, all right, that said, let's talk turkey, as it were. And I'm going to start again talking briefly this time about tiger rescue. I keep thinking we should probably give it a break, because I've been talking about it at the top of the news for, you know, weeks and weeks, probably months, really. Yet it's hard not to. It's so important. And also, this being a holiday, maybe some folks are listening that don't sometimes otherwise get a chance to listen. And, you know, maybe we'll... maybe we'll snag a volunteer by this. So, briefly, it's a facility out in Colton, California called Tiger Rescue. It was allegedly a sanctuary for tigers and other big cats. I'm just going to do the shorthand version if I can here today. For quite some time, the facility itself was really neglected. And, of course, not surprisingly then, the animals there were really neglected. So, the proprietor's up on a string of very serious criminal charges. Fortunately, the trial keeps getting postponed. But the upshot for our purposes here on Talking Animals today is that most of those animals, while some have been relocated, most of those animals are still there. And an amazing man named Chuck Tracy, who otherwise runs with his wife Cindy the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center down in Ramona, California, by San Diego, has stepped up now, going on months and months of kind of overseeing the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue, and really doing so by way of help from an ongoing, rotating, huge battalion of volunteers who drive in from all parts of Southern California and occasionally Northern California, and I guess now at this point from other states as well, just as word has kind of spread. And rightly so. It's an amazing experience. If you could ever carve out a weekend day, sure. If there's any way you could even do part of a weekday, like a holiday like today, would have been cool. And next time that comes around, you might want to keep this in mind. And basically what you do is you go out and you help look after these tigers and other big cats, and there's other animals there as well. And you just kind of help clean up their enclosures and feed them, look after whatever else they might need, water them down, of course, when it's really hot, and just make sure they're more comfortable on top of just their basic basic needs being met. So it's really an amazing experience. I've been out there a few times myself. I really, you know, it's just a great, great experience. And of course, you're really helping these animals who've had a rough road, and they're doing much, much better now, thanks to Chuck and all the great people who've been there. Especially there's a certain, you know, regular crew that pop up there frequently. But anyways, the point of all this is, if you could ever carve out a portion of a day to go out and help out these animals and volunteer your time, you'll have an amazing experience, I can assure you. And just let us know it by emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And we'll hook you up with the proper folks that coordinate that and schedule that. So also, they are going to be relocated. The vast bulk of the remaining cats, if not all of them, are going to be relocated to this amazing facility up in Northern California called PAWS. And they have a huge, huge, one of their facilities is a gigantic 2,300-acre place. And they have a 10-acre facility that's earmarked now for these cats to move. But they still need the enclosures and other things to be built and prepared for the cats to be moved there. So I also want to just put a little plug in case you feel like donating, reaching in your pocket to help these cats. Just maybe cut a check, mark it Save the Tigers, and drop it in the mail to the Fund for Animals. Attention, Save the Tigers. 200 West 57th Street, New York, New York, 10019. And that'll help these cats get squared away up there in San Andreas, basically. It's an amazing spread. I've been up there before. I haven't seen it since they've been working on this cat enclosure, but I'm going to be going up again in May. And anyway, so this story may end up having a fairly happy ending, but any help you could do, both by way of volunteering your time or sending a couple bucks their way, would be great. So again, any questions of that, you can call us at 949-824-5824 or email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Now, another news story that popped up that was pretty hard to miss just by virtue of the photograph that seemed to accompany most places. There was a sea lion that somehow made its way to the Central Valley. And at least in the LA Times and like other places, there's a shot of the sea lion on a highway patrol car. It was sort of puzzling. Now, unfortunately, the next day, the story took a slightly less pleasant turn, and that they discovered that the sea lion had a bullet in his head. But he seemed to be functioning fine. That obviously was at least part of why they think he got so, you know, sort of sidetracked and a sense of direction was affected. But as far as I know, he otherwise was in healthy, good shape. And I know he was being looked after once they both discovered him in that kind of wayward location and with the bullet there. So, and on a related note, by the way, I should mention that next week, speaking of sea lions, we're going to have Michelle Hunter on, who's the director of the Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach. So looking forward to that, and we'll talk all about sea lions and rescue and rehabilitation, and they've been down there like 30-some-odd years, I think. So really cool. I was just over there yesterday, and it's just a neat, neat place. So also in animal news, of course, you can't really do an animal news segment without talking about the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. So... And the top dog in that latest dog show was Josh. And a big, shiny, black Newfoundland won Best in Show. And really a huge, great animal, as you know, of course, all those animals are there. So congratulations to Josh on that victory. And it was really cool to see him subsequently. He's just quite a beast. So... it's now sort of the midway point of our news thing, and so our news thing, news report, I guess, news segment, probably anything better than thing. But anyways, what we've been doing for a couple months now or so is dropping in a quick, instant quiz question in the midst of the news. It's the one question, it's true, false, and if you call in the correct answer first, then you win a prize. As you might know, we're big on prizes here at Talking Animals. So here's our question. True, false, only male turkeys gobble. Females make a clicking sound. True or false? If you know it, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. First one that calls in with the correct answer, that's right. They walk away with the prize. And we're not just talking just any kind of prize. We've got CDs from our past guests, books, including Shirley MacLaine's most recent book that she co-wrote with her dog, Terry. We've got shirts. We've got... animal accessories and leashes and collars and toys and stuffed animal toys, and all kinds of cool stuff. So anyways, that's that applies both for this quiz and later when we do Name That Animal Tune at the end of the show. So just so you know, we're not just horsing around, so to speak, on the prizes. Okay, something that Serena and I touched on at the top of the show, well, this was in the news again this weekend, and I'll just read a little bit of it, but basically, dressed as skeletons, this is from the LA Times yesterday, I believe, dressed as skeletons and carrying photos of dead dogs, animal activists marched outside the San Pedro home of Mayor James K. Hahn on Saturday in an effort to oust the general manager of Los Angeles' Animal Service Department. The hour-long protest resulted in several arguments between activists and residents, many of whom said they felt their neighborhood was not an appropriate place for a demonstration. The first time that the protesters had gathered at the mayor's home, and several vowed to return. Quote, your neighbor is responsible for the deaths of 44,000 animals in city shelters each year, shouted Pamela Ferdin, spokeswoman for the Animal Defense League, through her bullhorn. Sorry, we're just going to get a little more music underneath us as we chat. Anyway, so it goes on to cover it there. But basically, at the center of this is there's been quite a storm of controversy that's developed around Jerry Greenwalt, and he's the head of the Los Angeles Animal Services Department, and it's really become quite a volatile charge to issue, and hope to deal with it more directly in a subsequent edition of Talking Animals. But basically, people are quite upset because those shelters seem to be euthanizing a lot of animals. Some would say, you know, either before there would be reason to or when there's no reason to. And Hahn has made a pledge that they would stop killing adoptable animals by 2008, but that seems like a long ways off from the people who are upset about this. And, of course, many other comparable facilities around the country really do have a no-kill policy. So, again, complicated, very emotionally charged, but interesting stuff. So your thoughts or comments on that about protesting at Mayor Hahn's house, for starters, or anything else you'd like to say, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And as far as a benefit coming up this Saturday, February 21st, and it runs from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's in Beverly Hills, but you still, if you're listening in Orange County, you might want to make the trek up. San Diego, you still might want to make the trek up. And if you're in the L.A. area, then, you know, it's handy. But it's for Rescue Me, Inc. We had Joy Nadell on last week, as you might recall. And it's a really cool sort of animal hospital and rescue sanctuary, and actually aiming to be even more than that. So they're trying to raise funds. They're nonprofit. They exist strictly on donations and fundraisers like this. So basically it's going to be at this place called the Donald J. Planner Concept Store. And all day long there's going to be music. There's going to be animals. There's going to be an animal fashion show. There's stuff you can eat and drink. You can donate. You can buy stuff. You can bid on stuff. It's very, very cool. So you can call Joy at 818-999-2400 to find out more about this or to volunteer if you'd like to. And you can also find out more by way of their website, www.rescuemeinc.org. That's this Saturday, the 21st, and it runs all day, so if you can just sneak by for a little time. It's 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And more locally, you might recall that in August, if you've been listening for a while to Talking Animals, on the 11th, in fact, we had a vet tech, Tawny Lee Thompson, who, among other things, teaches first aid and CPR for pets, for cats and dogs primarily. So those classes, there was another one that happened yesterday, but there's two more coming up that I wanted to alert you to. And basically it's just a one-day, five-hour class on a Sunday, and it teaches people to recognize and respond to pet emergencies. And the class covers how to approach and handle injured pets, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, controlling bleeding and treatment of shock, as well as how to manage more common emergencies like choking, snake bites, fractured limbs, poisoning, etc. So you take the class and you learn all kind of stuff and you get a cool book and you get certified, and then if anything happened with one of your animals or an animal nearby, neighbors, friends, etc., you'll know what to do. So the next one coming up is at the end of this month on the 29th in Huntington Beach, and there's another one in March on the 21st, also in Huntington Beach. So you can find out more about that by calling Trina at 949-586-4250. She can give you the scoop, she can sign you up, and the whole nine yards. Again, you can call us or email us, 949-824 5824 for questions about that, 949-UCI-KUCI, or again, email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. So I think that's going to do it. If we have time, we'll maybe get in a couple more items later on in the show. Right now, I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site, www.talkinganimals.net. That's .net. That's right. And when you get there, please sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is Eddie Izzard with a piece called Talk to the Animals, KUCI.
But, you know, whales, they're intelligent. They do whale song. We don't know what it means, but I think that whales are traveling at 78. They're traveling at 78 speed, and if we take them up to 45 speed, we'll find they're actually going, I love you, baby. And if it's quite all right, I love you, baby. Well, then I love you, baby. Question me, love you. Yeah, they're DJs, you see. DJs of the sea. Because sound travels well in water, and they need a big PA to be a DJ, but they've got their whole bodies. Yeah, it works, doesn't it? This next song is going out to all the goldfish down by the Azores. I love you, baby. So they're intelligent, and dolphins, they're intelligent, because we all saw the documentary Flipper. Well, dolphins came up going, what's that? What's that, Flip? Shanghai Check is having trouble. Mao Zedong has taken over mainland China. Chiang Kai-shek has retired to Taiwan with some of his followers, where they will have a complete disregard for international copyright rules. Is that what you're saying, Flip, or do you want fish? Because every episode of Flipper, he'd say the same thing. Always having a problem. What's that? What? A boy trapped in a well, trapped in the water. Three boys fell out of a ship, a small ship, a big ship. Two syllables. Big ship, small ship. Sounds like the deep. Bit like the deep with the shark. Jaws. Da-na-na-na, like that. Gone with the wind. Okay. And they were all like that. There was Skippy. Yeah. What's that, Skip? A boy trapped, drowning in a desert. Drowning in a desert. Ill, he's in a sandy place. He's ill, he's got a bad leg. What? Gone with the wind? And last.
All right, that's Eddie Izzard here on Talking Animals. It's the Comedy Corner, signature feature. And I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 80.9 FM. And again, that was Talk to the Animals, taken from Eddie Izzard's CD entitled Circle. And as many of you know, we also stream live here on the internet at www.kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening to that that very way, and some of you perhaps got there through our nifty website at talkinganimals.net. And we're reminding you, all of this, course, is by way of broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Fred Bergendorf, the executive producer, creator, frequently host of The Pet Place, a long-running TV show that airs Saturday mornings locally here on KDOC. And that's Channel 56, if you're... can get it that way, and there's various, depending on your cable system, other channels to find KDOC, and then it also, of course, runs on a cable system in Long Beach, and the show essentially presents all kinds of animals from various humane societies, shelters each week in the hope they'll be adopted out to good homes, but we'll find out much better and much more when we welcome Fred Bergendorf to Talking Animals. Fred, are you there?
I sure am.
Great. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
In mentioning that that you'd be our guest today, I've sort of, as you might have heard, provided just sort of a quick and perhaps mundane description of the show. For those listeners not familiar with the Pet Place, and first let me say shame on you, maybe you can give us a better, more detailed description of what the show really is and how it works.
Well, basically I came up with this concept about 14 years ago when I was, besides my own cat that I had, I was befriending some stray cats that lived outside my complex in Long Beach. And one thing led to another, and I was sadly introduced to the tragedy of pet overpopulation. And I decided to do something about it, and I started the Pet Place on a local cable system in Long Beach. And we focused primarily on the Long Beach Animal Shelter at the time and getting homes for the animals featured from the shelter. And then a year later, I took the show to KDOC-TV and spread it to the entire market and involved up to 24 shelters. And basically the show is involved in getting homes for unwanted and abandoned animals from a variety of shelters and rescue groups throughout the area. Besides doing that, each show has a feature on some aspect of pet owner responsibility, whether it's food or training or medical care, whatever. So
sure.
That's the way we do it.
And just to back up for a sec, because I think one of the things you sort of said in that sort of capsule summary that I think is really important is that, you know, sort of what launched you in that direction. So it sounds like there was something specific that happened tied to an animal shelter or experience with an animal that made you aware of the pet overpopulation problem, or how did that exactly...
Okay, well, as I mentioned, there were some stray cats living outside the complex where I live.
Right.
Over a period of time, I started befriending them and then
sure.
started to feed them, and then... one day, the cats weren't there, and we had a guard, a gated community there, and I asked what the situation was, and he said people from the shelter had come by earlier that day and taken some of the cats with them. And, of course, I had become very attached to a couple of them, and I rushed over to the shelter and tried to find them. Luckily, the particular cats that I had befriended showed up the next day. They were not taken to the shelter, but when I went there, then I saw firsthand what happens to most of the strays that are picked up because of pet overpopulation. They're just mainly put to sleep.
Okay, so that's specifically how you became sort of aware of the pet overpopulation problem, and then that got you thinking, hey, what can we do about it?
That's right.
But it's also, you know, it's safe to say, Fred, that lots of people have had a comparable experience. They visited an animal that they've become attached to, even if it wasn't theirs. Wasn't there one day, or they've gone to a pound or a shelter and find themselves just kind of staggered by the sheer number of animals that need homes,
mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fate that, of course, many of these animals face. They're not adopted. But why do you think, I mean, your reaction was actually to really do something? I mean, and you know, what sort of spurred that? Why do you think your reaction was to create a TV show?
Well, one thing, I guess maybe I love animals more than most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that arrogantly, but I really have a tremendous passion for and love for animals of all kinds, especially
sure.
domestic ones. And I had a background in broadcasting and television. I started out as a disc jockey on radio.
Wow.
And
all right.
So because of that, I realized the power of the medium and decided to use that to feature the animals and raise people's awareness. And it certainly did. I mean, overnight, I think from the first show, their adoption rate at the Long Beach shelter rose 73%.
Holy cow. So I was about to ask you if the idea clicked right away, but I guess that sort of answers it in a big way.
Right. Jeez. Away it did. Uh-huh.
Wow. And so really then it just sounds like it just you hit the ground running, and with that kind of response from the first show, I guess it was just sort of a matter of time of just kind of expanding, because it sounds like it wasn't too long, but within a year's time, I guess, that then you sort of broadened out to take it to KDOC, et cetera.
That's right. In fact, actually, we didn't give up one for the other, because
right.
we now are on
both.
On both. That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
And you has there been thought, just given those kind of results, of further expanding? Just because it seems like I think you said you're covering 24 different organizations and shelters and pounds, et cetera, that have animals. Has there been thought or consideration of even broadening out further to a different, you know, larger part of the Southland area?
You know, I'd like to actually, but the inherent problem here is that the show has to deal with a local shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to so-called syndicate the show or whatever, it wouldn't really work because
sure.
I could give people a framework to do the show. But
yeah.
So that's the difficulty. Now, if the time arises and the occasion arises, I'd be happy to do more shows in the area in
mm-hmm.
different communities, but I'd have to make myself available to be able to do that
sure.
as well.
Yeah.
It requires hands-on. In fact, many people have written to me, they've seen our website, and they've called and asked us about doing shows in their parts of the country, and I try to guide them and help them as best I can. I do tell them, though, it is a very daunting task. You really have to have wide commitment from volunteers, from shelters, from technical people. It is not easy to do.
Yeah, well, that's that's answered probably then a question I also was going to have, because just given the tremendous results and effectiveness of the show, I mean, I just wondered to what extent there were other such shows that you're aware of, you know, in other parts of the country. But maybe you've hit on a key point, which is it's very hard to sort of make this go and sustain it, probably.
It is very hard. I advise people to start with a local cable system if they can.
Sure.
If you take an idea directly to a local television station, it's about 99% sure that they won't accept it. They just have that culture that if they didn't come up with it or it isn't syndicated,
sure.
they're not going to do it. So
or
just about forget that entirely.
Sure.
And then you also face the problem of funding it, and that means you have to qualify and fund a nonprofit, as I did.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole other area. So you have to embrace all those if you're going to do something like that, and it's a big job. It really is.
Sure, sure. This is, by the way, Talking Animals on KCR. Our guest is Fred Bergendorf, the creator and exec producer of The Pet Place, a really wonderful weekly TV show. Actually, I guess on Long Beach it airs multiple times each week, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Actually, on Long Beach it airs every day on either Channel 3 or 21.
Yeah.
And then on KDOC, of course, it airs every Saturday morning at 7:30.
Right, right. So if anyone has any questions about the show or for Fred, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI. KUCI. And with those 24 some odd shelters, pounds, humane society, etc., how does the rotation work, or is it literally just a rotation and just everybody kind of just gets their turn on a serial basis? Or,
well, we have our core shelters in Long Beach. It's still the main shelter there because they have the greatest need there with us from the beginning, but then we
sure.
we rotate to other shelters that want to be part of it. At KDOC, it started with the Orange County Animal Shelter in the city of Orange,
mm-hmm.
and they are the biggest single shelter in the area. The L.A. County and L.A. City shelters are bigger because they have like six or so shelters in their systems each, but for one single shelter, I believe Orange County is the biggest, and they definitely need our help. But
sure.
then we involve rescue groups and others, and actually I have a producer who helps me a great deal. In fact, you can't do this show by yourself, and I have other people that coordinate the schedule, so we bring the different shelters in on a basis, and sometimes they're run by nonprofits too, especially
yeah.
the rescue groups, and they have problems getting from point A to point B with their animals, so sometimes they just aren't available, so then we go to the next one on the list.
I see. And I suppose each organization just sort of selects the animals that get their shot based on maybe how long they've been there or a specific circumstance for that animal. Is that...
Right. We don't tell them what to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they bring, we feel that's what they need to bring us with.
Sure.
Them, so we say fine.
And on average, Fred, for each show, how many animals get presented on The Pet Place?
Roughly from 10 to 12. We try to reach for that figure each
time. Sure.
Sometimes we do what we call an extra special show, meaning we have a third group of animals that we bring on for our middle segment, which usually is a feature, as I explained earlier. So
yeah.
Sometimes it's more, but we try to average between 10 and 12.
And then here's sort of my favorite kind of almost trick question. On average, how many of those animals will get adopted out of those 10 or 12?
Well, actually, our adoption rate off the show is now and has been in all these years 96%.
Wow. And see, I even thought, I thought it was a mild trick question. I thought one of the kind of little dandy little secrets of the pet place is that because it seems like over the years, because viewers are required to go to these facilities and say X amount go to because they saw, you know, Rover or, you know, Muggsy or whatever, and then maybe he or she isn't available, then they end up leaving with other animals that they fall for.
You know, that is exactly the whole point of the adoption process, and we knew that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
They can't call and adopt a pet off the air. They have to go to the shelters, and for that reason, we've been credited now by several shelters' estimates that the pet place has been responsible for about 150,000 adoptions.
Because oh, my God.
People show up at the shelters, maybe four or five people for the same animal they saw on the show, and they want to get it, but maybe it's already been adopted. But as long as they're there, they start looking around. And you're exactly right. That is the premise for the way we do it.
And on top of that, one of the things that I think is also really great, because, again, it's maybe the power of media and seeing these animals, but one of the things that's also really cool, I think, about the pet place is that it does seem over the years that a good number of animals that have a disability, a handicap, some sort of ailment, also, you know, maybe against the normal numbers, seem to find homes.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I've really been an advocate of trying to give a second chance to handicapped pets who otherwise would have almost no chance of being adopted. And so I encourage the shelters, I encourage rescue groups to bring their handicapped pets on the show, whether blind or three legs or deaf or whatever, and we do our best to help them get homes. In fact, I believe that our adoption rate in that area also is more than 90%.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I guess it's important to mention, since we've alluded to it a little bit, but there's other reasons too, that the website for the Pet Place is www.thepetplace.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not only good information about the show, but there's also really great resource information. There's a session called You and Your New Pet that just takes you through, you know, making sure you have ID and monitoring safety issues and selecting a vet and all that stuff. I mean, it's just fantastic resource. And I also noticed one thing that was really great, too, is shelter section where you can search by area code or other area and find, like, hey, where's close to me and how can I get the particulars. So it's an emergency clinic. It's a really wonderful website. I think that must be a huge boon to not only the efforts of adoption, but just people once they've adopted and are looking for help. It's a great place to go. Yeah,
it does help us quite a bit. We get lots and lots of comments from the website, and actually it, again, I was going back to doing something like this, somebody wants to get involved. It takes a tremendous commitment in terms of hours and energy, because I pretty much wrote the entire website and came up with all the resource information, which involved finding all the shelters, the cities they serve, their addresses, phone numbers, and then we have another section, the emergency animal clinics. I think you brought that up.
Yeah.
And then we have another section called Breed Rescue, which is people look for different breeds of animals, or they have, say, a German Shepherd, and they, for some reason, need to get it a home. Then we have that on our Breed Rescue. But I also put in a tremendous number of miscellaneous animal rescue organizations that are not breed-specific.
Yeah.
So people can get extra help in trying to get individual animals adopted, too. So we're pretty proud of this comprehensive site, and we're glad to provide any information, and we have lots of links on there for other things, too.
And I'm even more impressed now that to hear you say that you wrote the vast bulk of that stuff, because it's just packed with great information. So just the research and the actual writing, that must have been quite a task.
A lot of work.
Yeah. But on a related note, too, it seems like the Pet Place has really become something of a juggernaut almost. I mean, you know, there's an annual luncheon that you might tell us a little bit about, Fred?
Absolutely. Every year, about the first or second Sunday in December, we host a luncheon, and for the past many years, it's been at the Long Beach Hyatt, and we honor people who've been heroes to animals during the previous year. And I started this about, 12 years ago when I noticed a person doing a heroic rescue for some ducks and some ducklings were trying to cross Pacific Coast Highway, of all things, in Long Beach. And this person stopped traffic and put his own life in danger trying to escort this group across the street. And I was so marveled at that I decided that I want to do something that honors people that do heroic things, whether it's volunteer work or it's maybe a veterinarian that goes the extra length and mile and doesn't charge for it, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's been really, really a wonderful event for us.
Oh, that's great. And what a nice nice nod to people who, again, are doing those things selflessly and then to later get that kind of recognition. So, and then also I think there's something around Christmas time also, the Christmas parade, I guess, that you're involved with or at least are participating in some way.
That's right. The Friends of Long Beach Animals puts on an entry each year into the Belmont Shore Christmas Parade, which has now grown to one of the largest in the entire area. I think about 60 or 70,000 people are packed in to about maybe 8 or 9 blocks there on 2nd Street in Belmont Shore. And this parade is always a wonderful event, and people get to be up close with us and personal and shout back and forth, greetings, and all that type of thing.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a great experience. It really is.
And all this, as we've touched on a little bit, is done on really a shoestring. I mean, it's a nonprofit public service show, and really accounts relies heavily on donations. And there's details, again, about that on the website at thepetplace.org. But I guess now also people, if they want to donate a car or some other vehicle and to help the Pet Place, they can do it that way. And
they can do it, and I'll tell you, it really does help. We operate on a thin shoestring.
Okay.
And nobody gets paid that's involved with this with the show.
Sure.
And it's we rely entirely on viewer donations.
Wow. Yeah. And it's amazing that you know, it just keeps going strong. And
14 years.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of which, kind, I know you're in Las Vegas as we speak, and I maybe it's just logistics, but I noticed some of the recent shows that you haven't been hosting. Are you kind of looking to reduce at least your on-camera involvement a little bit, or just again, being in Vegas, it's hard sometimes to maybe get out to host the shows? Or
it's hard sometimes to come over. It depends. I'm trying to work out my schedule a little bit better.
Yeah.
I haven't missed that many shows, but a few that I haven't been able to get to, but
sure.
I'm still committed, and I usually drive out there once every 2 weeks to tape the shows, because we do it on an every other week basis. So
right.
I'm still as committed as ever.
Sure.
And I make it about 90% of the time, and when I can't, I have some people that work with me that can take over.
Absolutely. Great. Well, Fred, we're just about at the end of our time. I'm just wondering if you have any kind of a little parting shot, like if you were sort of confined to one answer, and I know this is the kind of question that doesn't lend itself to that, but what's probably the most gratifying aspect of the Pet Place all these 13, 14 years later?
You know, when I come on the set each time, and it doesn't matter how I felt prior to that, maybe a little under the weather or whatever reason, whatever problems, and I get to come on the set, and as the animals come to me and I see those beautiful little innocent faces, it just does something to me. It just brightens my day, makes life fantastic, and just knowing that I can be some small part of helping them is all I need.
Wow, that sounds great, Fred. Well, we really appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate you joining us today on Talking Animals. Again, we want to remind listeners, it's The website is thepetplace.org, and the show itself airs Saturday morning, 7:30 on KDOC, and check your listings to find that, and also something like daily, really, on the Long Beach system.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck, and continue on your great work, and thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals today, Fred.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, I want to thank Fred and really urge you to check out the website, again, www.thepetplace.org, and, of course, check out the show if you haven't yet, and it's really, really wonderful, and obviously the amazing numbers they're getting with those adoption results are just fantastic, so also you might want to see if you can help out and volunteer, maybe send a couple bucks their way, whatever. Anything you can do to help the Pet Place, help animals find homes, right? Okay, so it's Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and we're going to continue now with an animal song of sorts. This is Charlie Parker in Leapfrog, KUCI. All right, Charlie Parker and Leapfrog, Talking Animals here on KUCI. I'm Duncan Strauss, and got a couple minutes maybe to just return to a little more animal news action. One thing I found interesting in terms of a Forest Service decision, this is from Associated Press, I think yesterday. The U.S. Forest Service is backing a plan designed to ensure the survival of one of the world's rarest trout species. Robert Vaught, supervisor of the Humboldt Toyobe National Forest, has released an environmental analysis of the plan to restore the Paiute cutthroat trout for its to its native habitat in the Sierra Nevada near Markley, California. The cutthroat is native only to part of Silver King Creek and the Carson Iceberg Wilderness, which flows into the Carson River south of Lake Tahoe. The project proposed by the California Department of Fish and Game is expected to remove the cutthroat from the federal endangered species list. The species was declared endangered in 1970, but was upgraded to threatened in 1975. Quote, "What's exciting about this project is that we have the opportunity to totally recover this threatened species," Carson District Manager Gary Schiff said. So, it's always nice to see when an agency like that will do something to recover a species that's just about gone. Sounds like as that was, obviously. And also, to wrap things up in that way, want to remind you about the Animal Rescue Site. I've talked about this a number of times in the past as well, but it's really cool and certainly worth mentioning repeatedly. It's a website, and the address is www.theanimalrescuesite.com. And when you go there, you can go daily. In fact, they urge you to. And click on Feed an Animal in Need. And it doesn't cost you a thing, but because of an arrangement with corporate sponsors and advertisers, they used a number of daily visits to donate food to abandoned and neglected animals in exchange for that advertising. So no catch, no downside that we know of so far. And kind of run this by a number of people and other animal types and people and organizations seem to be touting it as well. So again, it's the animalrescuesite.com. Go there every day, click on that thing, and free up some dough for food and care for our animal friends. All right. Well, I think at this point, it's time for Name That Animal Tune. And of course, this is remarkably like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. And again, like most renditions of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while, of course, the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. And hell, today we're even putting a German twist on things. You'll know what I mean momentarily. So with that preamble behind us, but also noting, again, there's always a prize. Yes, that's right. I said prize, folks. Prize, yes. And a cool prize at that. In fact, your choice of prizes. How about that? All right. So for the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist, or at least in this case, the original English version, so as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. Now, listen when the lyrics kick in. All right. It may or may not help you, but at least it makes it kind of more of a cool KUCI twist. Anybody? Even if you can't identify the German version. If you can just tell me the original version, you could still win a prize. I'm naming an animal tune. All right, well. Come on, I had to at least get to the chorus, right? You can still call in 949-824-5824 if it occurs to you. In either language, if it occurs to you. Meanwhile, I'm Duncan Strauss, and we've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank again our guest, Fred Bergendorf of The Pet Place. Again, airing Saturday morning at 7:30 on KDOC and basically daily on the Long Beach cable outlet that carries it. And I want to urge you again to check out the wonderful website, thepetplace.org. I also want to thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us next Monday on Talking Animals when our guest will be Michelle Hunter from the Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach. So please join us for that. Next Monday, February 23rd, on Talking Animals. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, the wonderful, really well done syndicated feature, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like this virtually each weekday here at KUCI, usually 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. So when you have a chance, please check it out. And again, I want to urge you to check out our website at talkinganimals.net. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. You know, we've got some cool guests coming up on the horizon here at Talking Animals. We got Alan Young, who played Wilbur on Mr. Ed. And still at 84, going strong, doing the voice of Scrooge McDuck, and really has had a long, storied career that I also get into. And so that's coming up in a week or two's time. I'll let you know about that, especially if you check the website or get on our email alert list. And there's other cool experts we have on the horizon, including Dr. Dee Boersma, who's one of the really top sort of national, if not international, experts on penguins. We've got a wonderful veterinarian, Dr. Barbara Slade, coming up in the near future talking about Asian elephants and some of the interesting sort of breeding and mating kind of habits of theirs, which is her area of expertise. We've got an animal communicator coming up. Yeah, that sounds like a psychic. Okay, you got me. It does. But we're going to first have her check out at least one of our animals and communicate with one, and then from there have her on the show. So that should be fun. Anyways, lots of cool stuff coming up on Talk Animals. And, of course, I urge you to, if you have other ideas, guest bookings that you want to suggest, or ideas for shows, topics, songs, animal songs, of course, animal comedy bits, news stories, anything else, just email those at talkinganimals@aol.com. And really look forward to hearing from you on that. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great blues show coming up here on KUCI. As always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. This is Burning Sensations with a song called Belly of the Whale. Again, we urge you to catch the Blues Disease, which will be infecting you momentarily. This is 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks for listening. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Enjoy the holiday. Have a great week. And we'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
A nice breeze blows in whenever the big fella cracks a grin, and when the time and the place is right, he sits down, sips out for your bits.
on his way.